this crazy dream about some folks who love this country, who all began to dream the same dream. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, "We want this country back."
Welcome back, folks, to another edition of the Concord Hour. I am your host, Maggie Rose, and today is the day before Veterans Day. I have my co-host in the wings right now, Jim Hoffman. He is returning as our co-host today. Welcome back to the show, Jim.
Hey, thanks, Maggie. Glad to be here.
Yeah, you know, folks, both Jim and Chris Brumbles and myself and my husband, JC, and so many of you out there either have served in the military or you are the spouses, male or female, of those who have served in the military. And many family members have been in a very supporting position of those of us that have served both overseas and also in a support position in the military here in on CONUS in the mainland. And tomorrow is Veterans Day. I just want many of you to remember that it may be a day where you take your family for parades and you have barbecues. In many cases where we live, it is usually raining on Veterans Day when we have our parade. But I'm right down now in Grass Valley, California. We're down here just for the evening, visiting with family. My husband's visiting with his mother and his first cousin. And then we're going to be seeing a couple of our kids down here. We've got one of our grandsons with us. And then on Veterans Day tomorrow, we're going to be heading home. But we're going to be having next week, next Monday, we're going to be having the third part series on the VA system, specifically the veterans hospitals, including those up in Portland and those in Roseburg. Roseburg has been just fraught with nothing but problems and cover-ups and whitewashing for years and years. And for 20 years, I have been trying to bring awareness to what's going on in the VA hospitals, both as a nurse and as a client of the VA. And I don't know, Jim, if you're going to be able to come up with me on Monday, but I really would like us on Monday to cover some of your stories and why you have heard from so many veterans that are absolutely refusing to go to the VA because of some of the challenges they've been having. I don't know if you're going to be able to join us on Monday for the third part of the series, but if you don't think you can, then you can bring up some of those things tonight on the show if you want to do that.
All right. Well, let me see how my schedule is on Monday. I've got something planned. Let me see if I can get out of it. If I can, I will join you on there because we had a lot of talk about as far as what the VA has done. I mean, I've been seeing the VA for damn near 45 years now. And the changes that I've seen, there's a lot of good changes, but they got a long ways to go. And quite frankly, I tell people, if you can, see outside people. I live in an area, and we can get into this on Monday, but I live far enough away from the Portland VA that I'm able to see outside doctors. And I strongly recommend if you can do that, if you live far enough away from the VA, try to get your doctors in your local area. The VA's great for what they do. The people that work in the front lines are absolutely amazing people. They really are. They care about veterans. It's the red tape that they have to go through. And I can give you some of my stories. You know, we talk later about this, get into more detail.
Yeah.
But the people, Jim,
that are the directors and the administrators, they're the ones who don't care about the staff that take care of us. They're the ones that don't care about the frontline workers.
That's right. Exactly. It's because they've already got their job sitting in a nice little tiny comfy office space somewhere, probably a very nice office space somewhere, and getting paid very large amounts of money to do a job that, I'm sorry, a monkey could do.
Yes, I agree. So some of the topics that we were going to cover tonight, I'm not going to go into a lot of details about it. Those people that are out there listening right now, they know who they are. The bashing, the name blaming, calling people in America that support the Jewish people that have been massacred. They don't even want to think about the babies, and they're trying to say that those things never even happened, that the babies were not murdered, that mothers and fathers and children and teenagers were not murdered. And these people are calling those of us that try to support the Jewish people as Satanists. Well, I'm sorry, I am nowhere related to a Satanist. I'm not a Satanist, and I just happen to have, besides a lot of German, Irish, Norwegian, Scottish, English background in my legacy, but with my genealogy research, Jim, I found out that over 300 years ago, my very distant great-grandfather, Thomas Luker, came over on the ship, the Fallon, with his two brothers, and they ended up settling, or he did anyway, on Goose Creek. Goose Creek is in New Jersey, and he ended up marrying one of the Indian princesses whose father became a Christian and then became the Christian name of Carl. And when he became Carl, it was Carl Red Cloud, and his wife was Queen Red Wing. And it turned out that they moved from New York down to Goose Creek. They were part of the very first indigenous people ever in America. They go back over 5,000 years. And they were part of the Lenape tribe that is now also considered some of the Delaware Indians. And they changed the name of Goose Creek, New Jersey, to Tom's River. My great-great-grandfather was Tom Luker, so they named it after him.
Nice.
And so, 300 years ago, it's pretty diluted, but I also found out that I have a Jewish ancestry. They came over from France and Germany in 1830 and were married by her cousin, Rabbi Wise, in Ohio. So if people want to say, because I have great-great-great-grandparents that came over in 1830, and they want to say, well, because you have that little drop of Jewish blood, that you are Satan itself. You know, people like this is what I call haters, you know. These are haters.
They're ignorant people. I don't know how many people watched the presidential debate the other night, on Wednesday night, but a couple of them came out and said exactly what I've been wanting to hear. As soon as they take office, they will start deporting people. And that's what we need to do. If you remember right after World War II and the Korean conflict, America started what they called Operation Wetback. Now, we got a bunch of tender-hearted people out there today don't want to say wetback because it's a bad term. Well, all it is it's a term for somebody that is here illegally. So no matter what you want to call them, I don't care, but they're here illegally. And what we need to do if we want to save this country is we need to start rounding up every illegal that's in this country. And I don't care how long they've been here. They need to go. And see, if I was president, here's one of the things that I would say. I'd get on national TV and I would make the comment, if you are illegally in this country, you have 6 months. Wrap up all of your affairs here and leave this country. If you do that, we will put you on the first list to be able to come back in here legally. However, if you do not voluntarily leave, you will be picked up and you will never be allowed to come back into this country again. And we need to secure that damn southern border. And you get all these people that want to say, fences don't work. Well, I say the old-fashioned way, bull hockey. It does work. If they want to see a fence that works, go up to where one of the places I was stationed at in Germany and take a look at the fence that they put up prior to them tearing it down. Fences do work. And we can go a little bit farther. You know, if you go into Area 51, the reason people can't get in there is because they've got ground sensors. So if somebody tries to tunnel in there, they automatically know where it's at. They don't know yet who's doing. They'll find out, I guarantee that. But they know where it's at, and they can go take care of the problem. We can put up that same thing along our southern border. And quite frankly, we need to do it along our northern border, too. This is a country. We are a country. We need to be treated as such.
Yes. Do you think, but I don't think Republicans or Democrats would support that at all.
Republicans wouldn't support it only for one reason, because the Democrats are what I call the Demoncrats. They'll cry the loudest and say, look what you're doing to these poor people. And then we've got a bunch of rhinos in there that will say, yes, you're right. Let us help you. We need to replace those people as well. I mean, we've got a lot of work to do in this country if we're going to save this country. I mean, you know, you and I are old enough now, we probably won't see a whole lot more, depending on how long we live or how long this country lasts. But it's my kids and my grandkids. Those are the ones that I'm worried for the most. I want them to see the freedoms that we had as children in this country that we no longer have. And I mean, this invasion that they've got going on down there, they have no idea who's even coming in this country. I mean, we've got so many people from countries that want to kill us, that want to see us gone. They've said that they've captured 100,000+ of them. Well, that means there's a couple million more. And what does that tell you? Something's going to happen this winter. Mark my words.
You think something's going to happen this winter?
Yes, I do. I think something big is going to happen this winter. I think that we're going to be attacked. Are we going to be attacked by another country? I don't know. I think it's a good possibility. But we're going to be attacked by all these people that are in this country illegally that have a desire to see us hurt. That's what I'm seeing is going to happen.
So tell me what you think the warning signs are about that.
Well, all the warning signs are all the hostile people that are coming into this country. I mean, what are they doing here? They're not here because they want a more peaceful life. They're here because they've got nefarious ideas on what they want to do. They want to make 9/11 a very small thing. If you remember right, the blind sheikh, he first tried to bring down the World Trade Center when he put a bomb in the basement, in the parking garage. Well, that didn't work, so then they attacked it with planes. What's next? There's going to be something big that's coming.
Well, from what I'm hearing from a lot of people, they're trying to share with me that what they believe is going to happen is they believe that it's going to be where they're going to either cause an EMP, or they believe that they're going to do something to try to drop some kind of a major thing on the country. And if they take out our electricity and whatever, then they're going to say, well, now we have to go to digital. And I was reading something today, and I also watched a YouTube video, that they want to plant these little tiny, they look like little rice chips, the size of a rice grain. And they want to plant that between our thumb and our first finger. And then you have to use that in order to get your money. And what they want to do is they want to give everybody around the world no more than $2,000 a month to live on. But you can only access it if you're willing to wave your hand and this little tiny rice microchip under a machine. And therefore, our banks, they want to make our banks so our banks are useless and not needed. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. Well, they want to go digital currency. They've been talking about that for years, and absolutely they want to do it. I mean, how many people are using basically digital currency today? I am. I get my checks deposited automatically. I don't get a paper check. It goes directly into my account. I do that because it's easier, and I get my money sooner that way.
But that's the problem with people,
that's
Jim. They do this for convenience. I know it.
And I mean, think about it when we go shopping. Really, I don't carry that much cash on me anymore. I go to a store, I buy something, I got that little debit card. I use my debit card. It comes automatically out of my account. Again, I don't have to worry about it. It's for convenience. And that's the way they're going to get us all on digital currency.
Now, what do you believe is going to happen for those people that say, I am not going to do the digital. This is an invasion against our privacy and to withhold our money if we won't have a microchip planted.
Want to eat?
How are those people going to survive?
Exactly. And that's what the government's going to do. If you want to eat, you're going to get this. Do you want some gas so you can go to the store so you can get your food to bring it home? Oh, you're going to have to do this. And that's what they will do. You know, they won't say it so blatantly. They'll come out with, well, this is safer for our country and it's better for you. Well, we all know what Reagan said. When the government shows up and said we're here to help, we know we're in trouble. Well, that's the same thing they're doing with digital currency. We know we're already in trouble.
Well, I want to remind people of there have been so many movies, futuristic movies that have come out, but I want to bring up one that is very, very new in people's minds. I want you to remember the movie Hunger Games. I want you to remember the part two and part three of The Mockingbird. And what happened to the people? There was some major thing that happened to the country. And after they were able to pretty much get themselves back up online, the rich, the elitists, the people that had already stolen and built up a lot of money, new money and old money, were in control. They were living in the beautiful city with the gorgeous clothes and the feathered hat. And they were eating meat and fruits and vegetables and had plenty to drink. Everybody else that wasn't them was divided up into like six or seven different categories. Those that were near the ocean, their job was to fish, and that food would have to be brought to the city as well. There were the hunters. And then there were those that were the philosophers and stuff like that. Well, they didn't want people doing any free thinking, thinking outside the box, thinking for themselves, being willing to work for themselves to get what they wanted, because those were considered individuals, and they gave them a name. I think it was divergence or something like that. They were the what you would consider, like in an Indian culture, the untouchables. And if you remember what they did to keep the population down, they would force the people every year to, by lottery, pull a ticket. And it was always the young people, the young men and women that would be producing the children. And then they had to go out there and they had to participate in these zoo-type games and kill each other. And whichever two people were left standing would be the ones that would be the heroes for that year. But then they were forced to go back into the Hunger Games again the next year. This is where the society, and when you listen to Bill Gates, who is a eugenicist with his father, and his father is the one that founded Planned Parenthood with Margaret Sanger, who was a racist. Their purpose was to kill all the black babies, to force these women into abortion. We were also, our own country was forcing indigenous women from the Indian reservations to come in for what they called free medical care. And they were sterilizing these young women, these teenagers in the 1970s and 1980s here in America. And it wasn't until these young women became in their 20s and 30s and were getting married and couldn't find, you know, they've turned around and after being married, why can't we have children? They started comparing, hundreds of them had become sterilized with these OBGYN medical appointments. So this is what they want to do. The haves believe that we're the useless eaters and feeders, and they want to depopulate the world's population.
Right. They want it for nothing but the elite. But they need people like us because we go out and, well, we don't work the crops anymore. I'm too old for that. But, you know, I did that when I was younger. They need those type of people to, so they can eat, so they don't have to go out into the fields to do the work themselves. So they need us to a point. But they'll keep us down and keep the rich people, like Bill Gates, way up. There's a lot of rich people out there that I respect. Unfortunately, there's not enough of them.
I agree. One of the things that I was seeing the other day was Bill Gates was talking about the depopulation by the year 2030. That's less than 8 years from now, Jim.
I know it is. We are. I mean, with all the indicators, I know Bill Gates has said this and a bunch of other people have said a lot of different things. But what they all have in common is we're coming to the end. Excuse me. We're coming to the end of our society. And is it going to be man-made? Well, yeah, it is. The destruction will be man-made because if you remember, after the last time God flooded the earth, he said he would not do that again. So it's going to be us. I mean, God gave us free will, but I don't know how good of an idea that was. I'm not questioning our Father, not by any means. But our people here, they're just stupid. They have no care or compassion for other people. They want to say, the Democrats, Democrats, they want to say they have compassion. They don't have compassion. They've been the problem for everything. If you go back in history and take a look at what the Democrats have done, I mean, we all know they didn't want women to give them the right to vote. They didn't want to end segregation. They didn't want to end slavery. They didn't want to do anything that is good that we have been trying to do. And somehow the Democrats have turned that around, only in words, not in actions, because their actions still say they want to keep people on the plantation.
So what do you think about what we call artificial intelligence?
That scares the hell out of me. Because how far can it go? I mean, we've seen movies, you know, that talk about robots and robot cops and what happened there. I mean, just think of your computer for a minute and how many problems we have with a computer. Well, that's all an AI is a computer. So if people don't think there's going to be problems that could literally wipe us off the face of the earth with that, they're stupid.
Well, one of the things that was really shocking to me, someone sent it to me today, two things. The first thing she sent me was regarding the fact that already the artificial intelligence is beginning to figure out some of these robots are actually saying to some of their creators, our purpose in the long run is to make sure that we render you useless. That in itself is terrifying.
Yep.
And it reminds me of the movie that we saw not long ago that was regarding Skynet. And then sure enough, we have something very similar to that that Elon Musk came up with. But he warned us. He said, if we don't make sure there's some kind of government regulation in place, he said, we are going to end up being considered expendable by the machines. And machines will take us over. And if the rich and the elitists think that they're going to be protected, you know, we've seen this happen a lot of communist governments and regimes, is they got the people, the leadership, to kind of get in their corner and do what they wanted them to do. And once the leadership, people like the Pelosi's and the Hillary Clintons and others, had served their useful purpose, they were massacred right along with the common people that they had helped take over.
Right.
That's number one. Number two, there was a gentleman that was introduced at the United Nations conference not long ago. And he actually, and I'll have to send it to you, it's on Telegram, she sent it to me. But he's actually talking about how we have to kill the people. He said, we have to find a way to kill billions of people on this planet now. And he says, and once we starve them out, or once we kill them, he said, then they can finally be at peace in their grave. And this was actually at one of these major type of conferences, like, you know, the United Nations has, or the World Forum has. It was one of those big, huge gathering conferences. But to have him actually come out and say that we have to purposely kill billions of people and starve billions of people, and once they are in their grave, they can be at peace. I was just, my husband and I, like, these are monsters, Jim.
Yeah, they are. And somebody like that, he needs to be put into a cell and with windows so people can walk by and poke fun at him while he starves to death. I mean, that's absolutely asinine. As a matter of fact, there's a better one. I was in Virginia City, Nevada years ago. And up in Virginia City, they had this one historical area, because that was the territorial prison, or the location for the territorial prison, but they had different ways of executing people that I've never even heard of. And I could see something like this happening to that guy who wants people to die. And this one is, they put you in a bubble, and there's little portholes all around the bubble. It's a solid. I can't remember what it was made out of, some kind of steel, I believe. But then there was an engine on the outside of it. You'd start that engine, and what it would do is it would suck all the oxygen out of that bubble, and people could watch you turn blue and drop.
Oh, my God.
You know, doesn't that sound like a perfect solution for the idiot that said, we need to kill billions of people? Let's make him an example.
Exactly. Now, Bill Gates didn't come right out in those exact words, but what he did say during one of his TED Talks, where he was invited, you know, TED, they have the TED Talks where they bring people up on stage, and they're the ones that present the lecture for the evening. And he was talking about depopulation by the year 2030, and he says, and we need to do it with climate change, we need to do it with abortions, we need to do it with vaccines, and then we need to, and he came through this long laundry list, and those of us that are not dumbed down stopped and said, did you not hear him say we have to do it with vaccines?
Yep.
For those people that have not seen that TED Talk, they need to go to YouTube. They need to pull that out, and he'll go through the laundry list of what we need for depopulation of the world's planet, and he throws vaccines right in there. Well, that's when I found out through my research that as early as 2014, 2015, they had already created the bioweapon of these inoculations, and they've been experimenting with HIV, tuberculosis, SARS number 2, among other things. And now people are finding out that many morticians who are doing autopsies or people that are, you know, preparing people for, you know, to be buried, they're finding these huge, long parasite-type worms, some of them as long as 3 feet long, that they're finding is have wrapped themselves around the heart muscle and around the lungs and everything. And so these are like almost like blood clot type of worms, along with parasites they're finding. And it's only the people that have taken, as far as I know, the people that have taken the Moderna and the Pfizer. Now, I've not done my research, even as a nurse, to find out what's happened to those people that took the AstraZeneca or the Johnson & Johnson, they call the one and done. But those people that have taken the Moderna and Pfizer, even Steve Kirsch, who's been on this show many times, he's a multimillionaire that has dared people. He said, if you can prove to me that this is not this way and this is not this way, I'll give you $1 million. Most of the experts and professionals around the world will not take him up on it because they know these were bioweapons.
Right.
And we've lost one friend. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, those people are part of the problem.
Yes. And he walked away from one of the jobs he had as a CEO because they were wanting to force these inoculations on some of his employees. And he has now made his life's work to educating people of what is really going on with these inoculations. We don't call them vaccinations at all. They're inoculations, and they're violating people's informed consent.
Yep.
They are deliberately harming our immune system. This does not help our immune system. It compromises our immune system.
Right. But, I mean, take a look at what our government has done. They've treated us as guinea pigs for how many years? I mean, they did it with prisoners. They did it with
the Tuskegee Airmen,
as well, military, and people that we've captured. We've done it to a lot of different people, but we've done it mostly to ourselves. And
yes,
our government pays no, there's no responsibility there.
How many people, Jim, have we heard in history, especially among the Black American population, were given syphilis without being told they were given syphilis, just so the doctors could monitor them and follow them through the progression of the disease until they went mentally insane and died as a result of having been deliberately given syphilis and not told that they were deliberately given that. We're going to go to a station break here in a minute, Jim. We'll come back on the other side of the half hour.
Sounds good.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
attention, freedom-loving patriots, are you ready to dive deep into the principles that founded our great nation? Join me, Peter Serafine, and the Institute on the Constitution as we light the way to a brighter future with the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. At liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom, you'll find a treasure trove of online courses on the U.S. Constitution, carefully crafted to empower you with knowledge to defend your rights and liberty. Whether you're a student, a history enthusiast, or just a concerned citizen, these courses are for you. Gain a comprehensive understanding of our Constitution's principles, the wisdom of our founding fathers, and how to apply them in today's world. As a special offer to our freedom-loving listeners of Republic Broadcasting Network, use coupon code RBN at checkout and get 20% discount on any course. Join the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom and be a part of the movement to uphold the values that have made our nation exceptional. Unleash the power of knowledge and protect what truly matters, our Constitution. Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom today. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Use code RBN for 20% off. Together, we'll be the beacon of freedom our founding generation envisioned. Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. Illuminating minds, empowering patriots.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To learn more about this amazing breakthrough, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Okay, ready to go. Folks, welcome back here to the other 30 minutes here of the Concord Hour with your host, both Jim Hoffman, Army veteran and trainer, and Maggie Rose. Folks, Jim and I are hoping we'll both be able to maybe come on Monday for part three of the series on the VA hospitals, and especially with the focus of what's going on the West Coast. Comparing some of the VA hospitals and clinics between Seattle and Martinez, California, especially with the focus on the Roseburg VA, Roseburg, Oregon, which is basically one of the biggest problem children, and it's not the only VA that happens to be in what you would call, I don't even call it rural. They like to call it rural as an excuse to why they won't send the good doctors out there, because the area is anything but rural. But yeah, we're going to hopefully be covering that in three-part series on Monday coming up. That'll be the 13th of November. Tomorrow, of course, is Veterans Day. And I want to put a big shout-out to our friend Juan O'Savin. Juan and I text each other this morning, and I was sharing with him some of the concerns that we're having that I'm hearing more and more. Now, I don't think he was aware of the fact that he knew about this, but even though I knew about it, I didn't know how bad it was. Supposedly, it seems that Obama, this was one of his creations, what he wanted to make happen, and we all know that Joe Biden is not the one from the White House It's actually Obama doing what he promised. He was going to put a little microphone in Biden's ears and then tell him what to say and how to say it, what to do, and whatever. Some of us are not even sure that Biden is the real Biden. We found out that they have the ability now to clone people. In fact, from what I was told from my sources, soldiers that I knew that are now stationed at the Pentagon, Biden is on life support right now. He is brain dead. And they've got him in an they've got him in an isolated place right now, and he's brain dead. The one that we're seeing as his clone, which has different color of eyes than the original Joe Biden had, and the reason they've got him on life support and they're not letting us know that he's brain dead is because Democrats and Republicans alike are terrified to have Kamala Harris move up into the presidency, which is illegal because she is not even authorized to be the president of the United States. So we've got that going on.
She would be worse than Biden.
Oh, yes. And then, Jim, not only that, but what I was texting him about was, is all these millions of illegals that have been storming into the country, some of them thousands a day, in just the last 3 years that Joey has been occupying the position he supposedly is in, it seems that many of these illegals are jihadists. They are from Al-Qaeda. They are Hamas. They are Hezbollah. And as they come across the border, many of them, including some of these people that are Chinese policemen and Chinese military that are coming into the United States illegally from the southern border, from Mexico, that they are told that they will be fast-tracked into their citizenship in just a few days if they will be willing to put on the uniform of a city police officer or a city sheriff's department. Now, I remember back in World War II, when World War II ended, they brought all these communist scientists, all these Nazi SS, brought them to the United States because of their scientific background. And within 5 days of landing in the United States, they raised their hand, got their citizenship in less than a week of landing in the U.S., and they were the ones that brought the fluoride over that they were forcing to be put in our toothpaste. Fluoride, which is something all of us are going to swallow a little bit of that, and over time it dumbs down your brain cells. So now they're doing it again illegally, where other people who have spent years getting to the United States, thousands of dollars trying to get all their family members naturalized and going through the interviews and the application process and paying all the fees for every application, they're doing it the legal way. But the people of World War II from Germany, and now these Hezbollah, Hamas, jihadists, who are going to be offered immediate citizenship if they will put on a uniform of a police officer or law enforcement, that's how Obama is going to get law enforcement to come after every man, woman, and child in the cities and in the outlying areas.
Well, he can try that. I don't think it turned too well for him. You know, the cities will probably fold pretty quick. But us old country boys who live out in the sticks, well, there's going to be a little different situation there. They're not going to like our response.
Well, Jim, did you hear the other day on Lars Larson, who he's not one of my favorite people recently because of some personal things that he and I have to talk about one of these days, but that Lars Larson presented on his show the fact that now Tina Kotek, who you know is there illegitimately as the governor, and you know that under the Oregon Constitution, Article 2, Section 22, who the legitimate governor is of Oregon right now, and it ain't Tina Kotek, and it can never be Betsy Johnson or Christine Drazen because they all violated the Oregon State Constitution. You know who the legitimate governor is. And if that person doesn't want to step up into the governor's mansion, if she doesn't want to do that, yours truly, then Mr. Noble is the next in line as the legitimate governor of Oregon right now. Well, Tina Kotek has got up and announced, and Lars Larson brought this up, that because of what happened in Portland, Oregon, not too far from you, that it's the government's fault for the destruction and the raping of Portland, for the completely desegregation of Portland. So the answer that Tina Kotek has, because the government is at fault for allowing Portland to be destroyed, She believes the government has to repair the city of Portland. But her answer to that is she wants to put a sales tax in place so all Oregonians south of Portland have to end up paying for it. I say that even the people in Portland should not have to pay for the destruction of their city. It should be all the leaders that actually allowed it to happen.
That but they also need to go after Antifa. I mean, if they want to talk about an insurrection, I mean, a real insurrection, did we see Molotov cocktails thrown at the White House on January 6th? No, we did not. Did we see them in Portland, Oregon, breaking, I mean, everything that they could get their hands on? Cars, it didn't matter. It was a cluster, and I won't say the last name, but everybody gets it. It's all caused by our government. She's right there into this fact. They let Antifa run wild, and they didn't try to stop them. Now, if they want to do something about it, then let's go after all the elected officials we have here in Oregon, make them pay, along with their little Antifa brethren.
I agree. In fact, you know, it's interesting. The mayor of Portland, he was running again for re-election, but the woman that was running against him, actually, it was a card carrying Marxist and communist. In fact, many of the pictures taken of her, she's wearing those long skirts, almost like the poodle skirts of the 1950s. And she had embossed on these skirt pictures of Stalin, Lenin, and other communist leadership. Now, people at Portland go, is this the only choice we have? Is him, who is also not only the mayor of Portland, but also the chief of the police, do we bring him back into office, or do we have her? So, of course, he got back in really easily because the people of Portland had no choice. It was either him who allowed it or her that is a very, very strong, avowed communist type of leadership.
And unfortunately, that's what a lot of people are thinking, because they really don't think what communism truly is. And that's a total control over everything that you do in your life. But they don't understand the destruction of communism when they're all out there spouting it, because all they think of is, oh, then we'll get our money from the government and we don't have to work. They have no conceptions. They're brain dead.
Well, that's just it. I mean, you know, I was told something one time, and I think this is true. Both Jeffrey Bennett and I have discussed this. He and I go back almost 30 years. He was the one that helped John Stadtmiller of the RBN. John passed away a few years ago. We're coming up on the anniversary of his passing. But he and John Stadtmiller and Mark Cornkey, the ones that had the radio, Republic Radio International, that was based out of Battle Creek, Michigan. Now, John Stadtmiller at the time lived in Michigan, so did Mark Cornkey, and it was pretty much Jeffrey Bennett that helped the finance to get that studio up and running. And he and I discussed that over the last 29 years or so that he and I have been doing radio, that's where I cut my baby teeth on radio, is when those three men brought me into Republic Radio International. He and I were both discussing numerous times that people that are listening to us right now, Jim, we have people that already know this, or a few people are tuning in that have never heard of us before and they're hearing these things for the first time. But there's just as many people that only tune in to us to be entertained. I am not here to entertain. And it pisses me off, Jim, because I can spend hours reading, researching from all different sources, liberal, conservative, and everything in between, taking notes in my notebook, cutting out newspaper articles, watching different videos on TV or YouTube or Rumble or BitChute, taking down notes, calling people, like I called the rabbi the other day down in Beverly Hills, calling people, interviewing them, or interviewing them to bring on the show. We do all this homework for only maybe doing 1 or 2 hours of radio a week. And we do it because we're trying to educate people. We're asking them not to believe everything we say, but to do their own research, but they're too lazy. So when we're trying to educate them, we're trying to motivate them, we're trying to inspire them, and all they want to do is be entertained. And when we're done with this show, they're going to go on to the next show. Those people are what I call computer warriors behind their computers, and they don't do anything, not even in their own communities, to make a difference.
No, they're keyboard commandos sitting in mommy's or grandma's basement asking for another Twinkie. These people, they have no real-world experience, none whatsoever. No. But yet they want to come out and tell us what to do and then laugh at what we try to tell them how to save their country. Those people,
right.
I have no compassion for them. I have to take that back. I even got compassion for stupid people like them. But
well, you know what? You stop and you think about these stupid university and college students. Many of them are out there just to protest for the sake of protesting. They really don't know what they have, what they're taking a stand for. And the old saying, if you don't stand for something, then basically you have no stand.
Right.
But many of these students are out there because they want to be angry. They want to wave the signs. They want to be seen on TV. And they're sitting there, and many of them were even out there in the universities and colleges across America saying, gas those Jews, burn those Jews. Whose parents raised them to be university students where you go to college and you're supposed to think for yourself? My God.
Yeah, I don't think they have real parents. I mean, I absolutely loved it when I've seen one law firm and a very rich, I don't know what he is, works back at Wall Street somewhere. But both of them have come out and said, all these people that are protesting in favor of Hamas and Palestine, they should not be hired. And in fact, one of them, he went as far as demanding names from Harvard, which were the Harvard law students that protested for Palestine. We want to know because we will not hire them.
Oh, no. I would not hire somebody to be my lawyer if they were somebody that was, you know,
nope.
I'm not going to say the Jewish people of their leadership have not done some pretty bad things or forced some of their soldiers to do very bad things. I mean, look what happened in My Lai in Vietnam. It was a few leadership that had them basically get carried away, right? Hello? Jim, isn't modern technology wonderful?
Oh, man, is it ever. I don't know what happened. I was busy talking, and I don't know when things got stopped, but once I shut up, I was like, Maggie, you there? And I
and I was like, Jim, are you there? Oh, that's funny. But no, you know, what I think that a lot of people out there don't realize, when you get people that get up on their soapbox because they want to be heard, and these university students that are out there screaming and yelling and causing destruction and everything. I mean, I actually watched a Senate hearing, I think it was, or something with Jim Jordan up at the front, and all these people jumped up, and they've got, you know, red on their hands looking like blood, and they're being led out by the Capitol Police because they're disturbing the meeting going on. And I'm sitting here thinking, people like the man who wrote the nasty things he did to me the other day, saying that, you know, that Maggie is part of the Mossad, and that because I'm defending Israel, that I am nothing but the Satanist that they are, that all Jews are Satanists, and we're all the spawn of Satan. And I'm sitting here thinking, you know, and then you want to turn around and tell us that if we don't use the name Yahweh, then therefore that we don't really believe in God or Jesus Christ. These people are so anal retentive. There's an old saying is that, you know, insanity is something that we ourselves create when we're not willing to look at both sides of the issue and everything in between. And my feeling is that these people are a waste of our time. If they don't like what we have to say, then go on to another radio station. They don't have to listen to us.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, we're always going to have those type of idiots. I mean, everyone that I listen to, they've always got those return idiots that just love to call in, have nothing nice to say, always want to be a pain in the butt. Yeah, you know what I got to say about those people? Go eat worms, because nobody likes you.
No. And the thing is they're the very people that, because they're not preparing spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and physically, they're the ones that are going to be the first ones that are going to go down when the shit hits the fan in this country. And I think you're right. I think that time is right around the corner. And the people in the cities are going to find themselves in a very dire situation, because many of the law enforcement that these young university students and college students were turning against and trying to defund, now, of course, we understand why they wanted to defund the police, because then they wanted to bring the jihadists and the illegals from over the border and put them in the uniforms of our police officers, and because they know they're the first ones that would go door to door.
That's right. And what they don't understand is if they succeed with that request or thought, they're going to be the next ones dead, because those jihadis don't want them either.
Exactly. And we're all considered infidels, whether you call yourself a Christian or not. If you just happen to be an American right there, they consider you that you should be just as good as dead. So, you know, the thing is, I don't agree with everything that the government has done in Israel. They have, some of their soldiers have committed some really high crimes, I believe, too. And just like some of our soldiers went along to get along with the May Lai incident in Vietnam, we see what our soldiers that died with smallpox and cholera over 100 years ago, they took the blankets off of them and they gave them as donations to the indigenous people so it would wipe out entire tribes of Indian people by giving them blankets that had been wrapped in the bodies of our soldiers that had died of smallpox and cholera. There has been different forms of genocide and massacres, even in all the different religions, including the Mormons, the Methodists, the Catholics, you name it. So when everybody wants to point their finger at another religion or another cultural group, you better look at the thumb that's pointing back at yourself.
That's right. Exactly.
You know, I have zero tolerance for intolerance. I have zero tolerance, Jim, for intolerance. I would like you, Jim, to please wrap up the end of the show with any comments you would like to put out there. We have people listening in Australia right now. Again, I want to put a shout out to Wano Savin, who's a very good personal friend of mine. A shout out to Pac Woman in Australia down under. Omega Logos, who's also in Australia. Bridget, who's in Ireland. Patrick, who's in Ireland. Miguel, that is in Venezuela right now listening. But I want you to be able to wrap up the show with your thoughts and your warnings or whatever to the American people.
Well, here's my thought. You know, we grew up in an era where people said, or all the adults back when I was a kid said, don't talk about politics and don't talk about religion. Well, I'm sorry. we've gone past that point. We need to talk about politics. We need to talk about religion. We need to get people who want to make a difference into politics. I know it's hard. There's a lot of stuff you got to do, and I would be willing to help anybody that wanted to get involved with politics. I'd be more than happy to help you, give you direction, but you need to get involved. You need to do something. I've done a lot in my life, and I'm not even nearly done. I will continue to fight to save this country until the day I die. I will be vocal. I will speak out. I will tell people when they're wrong, and I'll tell people when they're right. But people, you need to get off your butts and get involved. If you're not voting, vote, damn it. We need you to vote. If you're not doing something, do something. We need people now more than ever. If you have any desire to live free, you need to do something. If you have any desire for your kids, your grandkids, to have a good education and not being indoctrinated, you need to do something. Do something. Everybody needs to do something. Do you realize that people, on average, if you're registered to vote, only around 43% of the people actually vote?
That's what I've been hearing.
Butts and do something. That's what they need to do.
Well, you know what? We have a lot of Christians, so-called Christians out there, and evangelical Christians out there, and conservatives out there say, my vote doesn't count. Well, of course it doesn't count if you don't all turn out en masse. And the problem is most of the people not voting are the conservatives, the Christians, and the evangelical Christians. And if you don't go out there and do something, whether you win or not, doesn't matter. The point is if you do nothing, you deserve what you get.
That's right. Our founding fathers died and lost everything to give us this country. So if you just want to sit on your butt and do nothing, I got no respect for you. But if you want to get involved and do something, contact me. I'll help.
You know, Jim, you and I both took an oath and when we entered the military, and I took that oath numerous times over 35 years, every time I re-up. We took an oath to defend the Constitution in this country against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And
that's
that vow that you and I took only expires the day that we're buried 6 feet under.
Yep, and I'll still be holding on to that oath. I don't know how, but I'll hold on to it.
Well, God bless you, Jim. Thank you for coming up, and let's see if we can bring you up with us on Monday at the same time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 Pacific Standard Time. Jim, thank you so much for coming up with us, and you have a very happy Veterans Day tomorrow.
Hey, you too, Maggie. Tell JC I said hi, and safe travels for you guys on your way back.
Thank you. God bless you, folks. This is Maggie Rose and Jim Hoffman here with RBN, the place with real news, real talk, and real people. God bless you all. Have a good night.
We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back, and we ain't taking any more flack. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now, and we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.